let's get started. Issur Tumas Kohanim is one of the most relevant issues that a Kohen has to face on a daily basis. The shailas come in many different forms, whether it's visiting the sick in the hospital, traveling on a road that's next to a cemetery, going in an airplane that's traveling over a cemetery, or maybe that's carrying a mace in the cargo, attending medical school. A Kohen is confronted with this issue in so many different ways. Obviously, in the brief time that we have together, we can't possibly cover everything. But what I'd like to do is to outline a few of the basic issues that the post can consider when they decide the shailas of Tumas Kohanim. The source of the issue of Tumas Kohanim is a pasuk in Parashas Emor. I'm not sure if you got the Makoros. It was like a shortened group of Makoros. Maybe if you have them, you can follow with me. The pasuk in Parashas Emor at the beginning says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor lakohanim bnei Aaron, v'yamarta aleihem lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav." It would seem from the pasuk that a kohen is not allowed to become tamei to a mace, to a nefesh mace, to a dead human being. As Chazal explained, based on the Gemara, a kohen is allowed to become tamei to a mace mitzvah or to the Zion krovim, but to any other nefesh, to any other dead person, he's not allowed to become tamei. What does it mean to become tamei? What kinds of tumas are we talking about? So there are three basic types of tumas. One is maga, that's touching the mace. Then there's masa, which means carrying the mace even if you're not touching him. And then there's ohel. What does ohel mean? One of two things, there are two categories. One is mahil al ha-mace, that means that the kohen is on top of the mace, or the mace is on top of the kohen as well. Those are two different ways that you can have an ohel with the mace, if you will. And the other is what the poskim call ohel hamshocha. That means that the mace and the kohen are sharing the same roof. So the tumah is nimshach, it's drawn by the ceiling, by the roof that the mace and the kohen are sharing. The first very important shaila that the poskim discuss about tumas kohenim is whether the iser applies to a non-Jewish mace. Does it apply to mace akum? Most poskim assume that regarding maga and masa, there's no distinction. The issur of tumas kohanim applies both to a mace yisrael and to a mace akum. But regarding tumas ohel, there's a machlokas. There's a machlokas tanoim, where the mace yakum mametame ba'ohel is a kohen muzar. There's a machlokas rishonim, and there's a machlokas the mechaber and the ramah had a pasket. Mechaber in Yeridea in Simin Shinai in Beis Siv Beis, paskins lechumra. This is in source 4, if you have the makaros. Kivrei of the kochavim nochon lizor hakoin milelech aleim. The Mechaber says it's appropriate for the kohen not to go on the kivrei of the kochavim, not to be mahil ala neis. Says there are ma'afo bishiyesh mekilin, there are some who are mekil. So the Mechaber and the Ramah, me'ikir adin at a machlokas, whether one should go to chumra or one can be mekil. Concludes the Ramah v'nochon lahachmir, but it's appropriate to be machmir. So even though me'ikar adin the Ramah paskins against the mechaber, he paskins lekula, but he says it's appropriate to be machmir like the mechaber that meisei akum omet tamei ba'ohel, and therefore the kohen should not be in the same ohel as a meisei akum. Based on this, it would seem as though there's no room for Ashkenazim to be mekel. Svardim certainly can't be mekel, but even the Ashkenazim, even though Me'ikar Adin, the Ramah paskins lekula, but he says nochon lahachmir, that's appropriate. So it would appear that the Ashkenazim should also be machmir. But the Dagul Mervava, in his comments on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says that perhaps there is room to be mekel. Why? Based on a Ravid. Because Machlokas, the Ramam and the Ravid, what's the din in the following case? Let's say a Kohen touches a mace, and then he separates himself from that mace. But it's the same day, it's not the next day. So he wouldn't be Mosif Tuma al Tumaso by touching the mace again. Meaning if he had to get the Hazav of the Paradima to become Tahar, he couldn't start today because he has to wait until tomorrow to begin the 7-day process. Right? He has to count the 7 days and be Mazan, the Shlishi, and the Shvi. So he couldn't start today. So he's not Mosif Tuma al Tumaso if he touches the mace once again. Is he allowed to touch the mace again? He was pirish min atumah. He separated himself from the tumah. He's not going to be most of tumah al tumah. So it was the kohen muzar not to touch the mace again. The Rambam says yes, he's not allowed to touch that mace again. As long as Piresh Min HaTumah, even if he won't be Mosef Tumah al-Tumaso, the Rambam says he's not allowed to touch the mace again. But the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid in Hilchas Naziris, Perakei, Halacha Yud Zayin, the Ravid writes that as long as he is not Mosef Tumah al-Tumaso, he's allowed to touch the mace again, even though he's Piresh Min HaTumah. Because that's not part of the Yisr of Tumas Kohanim. The Yisr for the Nazir, that's why it's in Hilchos Naziris, the din of the Nazir and the Kohen are similar. Nazir is also Muzir from becoming Tamei to a Mes. So the rule by Nazir and Kohen is that they're not allowed to become Tamei to the Mes, but if Pirish, but if they're not Moses Tumal Tumas, so what could be the problem? He's just as Tamei as he was before, so what could be the difference? That's what the Ravid says. And then the Ravid has a very interesting comment at the end. He says, the Kohanim Bizman Azet Tamei Mesen, this is in Source 3, Tumah v'tumah afilu pirish v'chaz v'nada potem. V'akonim v'zman hazet tmei meisein v'odein alein chiyuv tumah v'hamachayev osam olav l'havi rayim. Says the Ravid, konim v'zman hazet tmei meis. That means that the becheskas tumah. So the becheskas tumah, they're not going to be mosif tumah al tumasam by being, so to speak, metame again, by touching the meis again. They don't have a chiyuv tumah. Says the Ravid, someone wants to be mechayev them in the Yisr of Tumas Konim has to bring a rayim. The truth should be, he says, that the Kohen Bizman Hazeh should be allowed to become Tomei to a Mace. To any Mace, not just Mace Akiv, to Mace Yisrael. Because they are already Tomei. So, and they're not Mosef Tumah al-Tumaso. They haven't started the process of Hazov the Paraduma. So if they're not going to be Mosef Feri Tumah, then there shouldn't be a problem with them touching the Mace. So it concludes the Ravid. He thinks that Kohen Bizman Hazeh, since that Tmei Meis, there's no Chiyuv of Tumah, there's no Issur Tumas Kohanim anymore. That's what it sounds like from the Ravid in Hilchos Naziris. Even though we don't paskin like this Ravid, we really paskin like the Rambam, that if Pirish Min HaTumah, it's also for him to be Chozer Matamei, even if he's not Mosef Tumah al-Tumaso. But you can make a Svek Sveika. Maybe the Halacha is like the Ravid. Tim Tim Tziloma, the Halacha is really like the Rambam. Maybe Meisi Akam are not Matamei Ba'olam. According to the Rambam, Ikar Adin, Meisi Akam Anat Matamei Ba'oel. So Zog the Dog of Rambam, you can put the Rambam together with the Ravid as a Svek Sveika, to say that if we're talking about Meisi Akam Ba'oel, then maybe it's Mutter for a Kohen to become Tamei, or to enter into the Oel. Let's just say to enter into the Oel with the Akam. Because maybe he's not becoming Tamei at all. Maybe Meisi Akam Anat Matamei Ba'oel, that's what the Rambam, Ikar Adin holds. And even if you say that he is becoming Tamei, maybe the halacha is like the Ravid, that he's not Muzer on Tumah because he's already Tamei. That's what the Dovah Merbaba suggests. A Svek Svek Alahokim. That's what he says in the beginning. But at the end, the Dovah Merbaba retracts the Kula. He says, he thinks that maybe the Ravid only meant that the Kohen won't get Malkus if he's chosen the Tamei to the Meis. The Ravid is talking about Chi of Malkus. He says, HaMechayev Osam. Oded Aleim Chi of Tumah. So the Dogam Revava suggests that maybe the Ravid is only talking about Chi of Malkus. But in Issa Daraisa there still is, even according to the Ravid. So if there's an Issa Daraisa, even according to the Ravid, you lost your Svek Svek. You still have the Ramah, but you don't have the Ravid anymore. Because even if the Kohanim might not be Mechuyev and Malkus according to the Ravid, the Dovah Merbaba wants to suggest that this still would be an Issur D'oraisa. The Tiskei Tshuva in Source 6 also quotes in the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer has a Tshuva where he suggests that he saw in the Tmim Deim that the Ravid was Chozer Bologami. The Ravid retracts his whole sheet, then he passes like the Rambam, that even if the Kohen is not Mosef Tumal Tumaso, he's still Mosef. He passes like the Rambam against the Ravid. So if you throw out the whole, if the Ravid himself is Chozebel, so then the whole Svek Sveka Mamish falls away because you only have one Sad Safek. I saw recently there were some who wanted to publish articles saying that maybe the Tmim Deim was actually published before the Hasavas of the Ravid on the Rambam. So it's a question which came first and which came second. Okay, I'm not going to take stands on that, but that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. Hasam Sofer says he later saw the Tmim Deim, and I guess he assumed that the Tmim Deim was published afterwards. I'm not sure. But based on what the Ravid writes in Tmim Deim, the Chasam Sofer wants to say that maybe we can't rely on this Raavad Bichlal, because he really passes like the Rambam. So there are those who wanted to say that maybe Kohanim should be allowed to attend medical school based on the Raavad. Based on the Sfek Sfek that the double Mervava sets up with the Raavad and the Ramah, some wanted to say that we could be Megal for Kohanim. As long as all the cadavers that they use in the anatomy lab are non-Jews, they have to be non-Jews. If they're Jews, you can't be in the same ohel as a Jew, as a Eis Yisrael. But Rova the cadavers are probably non-Jewish. So if the cadaver is non-Jewish, then the Kohanim could enter into the anatomy lab. They could be in the same ohel, as long as they don't do the dissection. They'll get their lab partner to do dissection for them. But they can be in the same ohel as the Meis, as long as it's a Meis Akum, because we can apply the Dovah Mevavah Svek Sveka, putting the Raavad and the Ramah together. So that's what some wanted to suggest. But others pointed out that it's difficult, because first of all, the Raavad is a Das Yachid. And secondly, it could be that the Raavad never meant that. Maybe he never meant that there's no Issa D'Araisa. Maybe he only meant there's no Chiyuv Malkus. According to the Chasam Sofer, maybe the Raavad was Chozav Olagamri. Rav Moshe was asked this shaila whether a kohen could attend medical school, and he suggested, he thought not. He writes in a tshuva in Yeridei in Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Nun Hey. He said he doesn't think that you can rely on the Raavad. He doesn't think that you can be mitzaref into a svek sveka. There were those who wanted to say, maybe aside from the davar mevav svek sveka, maybe we should be matir the kohen to attend medical school because of biguach nefesh. Rav Moshe rejects this too. He says he doesn't see why it's pikuach nefesh. He says even if there were no doctor in the world, it wouldn't be pikuach nefesh to learn medicine, to save a chola. Just like it's not pikuach nefesh, just like there's no, you know, there's no mitzvah to go into business so that a person can give tzedakah. If a person has money and he can give tzedakah, so then he's mechuyev to do that. If a person is a doctor and he knows medicine and there's a chola b'foneinu, so then he's mechuyev to save the chola. But to say that it's pikuach nefesh, so the person can go to medical school and violate Yisurim, if we assume that the Yitaka is an Isser, even according to the Raavad, right? So that he can go to medical school to violate Yisurim because of Bikuach Nefesh, Rav Moshe says that's not called Bikuach Nefesh, because he's not in the situation where he has the knowledge and he can actually do something. To say, so far removed, so far before in the process that it's called Bikuach Nefesh, Rav Moshe thought that that's very difficult. And he says, Bechalal, is there a lack of doctors in the world? There are other doctors. The Kohen doesn't have to become a doctor. He says, not only are there non-Jewish doctors, some might say, no, we need Jewish doctors. Rav Moshe says, there are Jewish doctors. So the Kohen doesn't have to become a doctor. It's a very touchy shaila. It's not a simple issue. There are poskim who take different stands, and there are different arguments given. But this is the simple approach. Right? That there really is an issue that has to be dealt with. The poskim are very sensitive to different situations and to the sensitivities of the individual, and they weigh different issues to balance, you know, to figure out is there any room for kula. But the poshav shat is taka Rav Moshe's tshuva that it really should be asa for the kohen because it's very difficult to rely on this right. The second issue that Kohanim face relating to Tumas Kohanim is visiting the sick in hospital. What kind of a chol are we talking about? So, some cholim are gosesim. What is a goses? Goses means someone who's expected to pass away within 3 days. No one knows exactly when someone is going to pass away, but the doctors say that the stomach within the next 3 days will pass away. So, is it mutter for someone to visit a goses, for a kohen to visit a goses? That's a machlokes the Machaber Amar. Chaber in Yeridei and Simen Shin Ayin writes that it's mutter. The Goses is alive. So the Goses is alive, you can visit him. The Ramah is machmir. Why is the Ramah machmir if the Goses is still alive? The Pashup Shal is the Ramah is machmir because he's afraid. He claims the Chachamim were afraid that maybe the Goses might die. Chashash of Shema Yomos. Not that the Goses is Dino Kimeis, but a Chashash of Shema Yomos. So for Ashkenazim, if we're talking about the chola of a goses, l'chora, you should not visit him in the hospital. But there's a much more basic issue of visiting the sick in the hospital, and that is even for a chola who's not a goses. What's the problem? The chola is not a ghost. What could be the issue? The chola is alive. The problem is not the chola that the kohen is visiting, but rather the other cholim in the hospital. There are other cholim in the hospital who do pass away. There are different wards in the hospital where it's pretty common that people pass away on a daily basis. So perhaps that might pose a problem for the kohen who's visiting his perfectly healthy relative who happens to have a problem that he's in the hospital. But he's not a goseis, but nevertheless, there could be an issue because there are other cholim that might pass away. What's the issue? So let's say we're talking about a patient who's on a ward where it's pretty common for people to pass away. So if someone does pass away on that floor and the door to that room is open, even though the chola that I'm visiting is in a different room, we say that the ceilings connect. That if the doors are open, then the ceiling where the chola who passed to where the mace is located, it then connects to the ceiling of the hallway, and it'll connect to the ceiling in the room of the chola that I'm visiting. So there could be a tumas ohel mamish with the mace if the doors are taka open. And doors are often left open in the hospital. Certainly when the mace initially passes away, before they're aware of it, and before people are coming in and out of the room, the room is left open. The door is left open. So if I close the room to the chola where I'm visiting, so l'chora I shouldn't have a problem, because then my room is not connected to that room. There's a door that's separating between the two. So that should be no problem, even if his door is still open. But there still is an issue, as the post can point out. And that is called sof tumah latzeis. Sof tumah latzeis means that even if the kohen is not in the same ohel as the mace right now, but if the mace is going to leave derech a certain ceiling, a certain area, and the kohen is in the same ohel as that area, then we look at it as though the mace is there right now. Meaning, if the mace is in a room, the mace is not in the hallway, even if they were to close the door to the mace's room, because the mace has to leave somehow, he has to get into that hallway. So then if the room to the other patient, if the door to the room to the other patient is open, then even if the mace's room door is closed, the kohen still would not be allowed to be with the patient that he's visiting without closing the door. That's a big chumrah, because we treat it as though the mace is already in the same in the ohel of the hallway. Right. Sof tumah latzeis. We take the root. We look at the root that the mace is going to leave, the room where he's in, and we treat it as though the mace is already there. That's the concept of sof tumah latzeis. It's not clear whether this is midirei kabbalah or it's a midirabbanan. There's discussions. There's a hagos of the Ranshberg in Beitza. Daf Yud, where he tries to be medayek from different Rashi's, but it's a halacha. Whatever the level of the halacha is, it is a halacha, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Source 8, Simin Shin Ayin Aleph, and Sif Dalet. That if there's a mace in a building, we don't know the way that the mace is going to leave the building. Right? So we look, there are many overhangs and doorways and different things in the building, so we look at the way that it's expected the mace to leave. If there's no particular way that he should leave, so then all of the ziz and all of the overhangs become a problem. A kohen would not be allowed to be under any of the awnings and the overhangs outside the building, because we treat it as though maybe sof tumah latzeis there. Maybe the mace will taka go out. There are masses hatam mishum behol sof tumah latzeis there are sham roin ki ilu yatsa. We look at it as though the mace already is in this area where sof tumah latzeis. So if the kohen is in the ohel together with this area, not with the mace, but with this area, even though there's a door that's closing, that's separating between the kohen and the mace, that's not going to help him, because we treat it as though the mace is in the ohel where he's going to be leaving because of sof tumah latzeis. So the kohen would have to close his door. That's a big chumrah. That would be a big problem. The kohen would have to visit the mace, run into the room and close the door and keep the door closed. And then if someone were to die, if someone passed away on the floor, he'd have to stay there until they take the mace out. Yes?
Speaking of buildings, if you were to go to a gravesite, is it forbidden for a kohen to walk where the building begins or where the people are buried? Is there a separation between where he
If there's no overhang on the building, so then the wall of the building will separate. But the kohen is not supposed to come within Dalai Lama's of the kever, Right? But technically speaking, unless he's ba'ohel, we're talking about a kever Yisrael, a kever Akum.
Is it a kever Yisrael?
So he's not. That's why there is an area in the Beis HaKfaras that the Kohen is allowed to go. They might keep them separate. They keep them separate. So the relatives of Kohanim are buried toward the end of the cemetery, so that the Kohanim can visit them on the side without actually entering into the Beis HaKfaras. But to go into the Beis HaKfaras sometimes it's very tricky. If there's a main road and the Kfarim are on the side, so the Kohen can enter into the Beis HaKfaras, he's not near the Kfarim. That's not a problem. He has to stay away, Dalet Amos, from the cave. Yes. Well, Mekabel Tumah I don't think is an issue because it is Mechubel HaKarka. So because the building is Mechubel HaKarka, the fact that it's Mekabel Tumah, it doesn't make a difference because something that's Mechubel HaKarka is not Mekabel Tumah. But in terms of the Poseach Tefach, I think Rabbi Shechter is machmer on that. I'm not sure that all poskim agree, but that could be an issue. It could be a little bit of a problem. So even if the door is closed, that might still present a problem for the Kohen. Well, let's assume, you know, as great a cool as we can, the Kohen would still have to close his door and keep it closed until the mace is taken out of his room. So that's quite a bit chumrah. Yes.
How would he really just walk in the hallway in the first place?
If there's no mace yet, meaning he's walking in the hallway, he doesn't know anyone has passed away. If there's a red light that's saying that there's someone who has passed away on the floor, then Taka, he wouldn't be allowed to walk on the floor either. I'm talking about a situation where he comes to visit the healthy person, the patient, and then someone tells him that someone passed away. So then he'd be stuck in his room.
Then he probably shouldn't
be there in the first place. That's exactly the problem. Right? That's exactly the problem. So is there any solution? Yes.
What's the gather of an OL? Because why is one floor okay?
Because the floor, right? The floor of the floor, right? Is chotzis b'fnei hatumah. Since the floor is mechubel hakarka, everything is mechubel hakarka. So we look at the airspace. The person who's on the lower floor, there is a floor that's separating. So once there's a floor separating, it's not going to bring the tumah. Even though, yes, it's true that tumah bokas v'ola, but that's only in the airspace, but not if there's a chatzitza. As long as there's a floor, that'll be chotzis b'fnei hatumah, and it won't bring the tumah from the lower floor to the upper floor. Is there any solution for the Kohen? So someone has suggested that maybe the din of sof tumalotzes doesn't apply to meisei akum. Maybe there's a kula. Maybe by meisei akum there's no din of sof tumalotzes. So as long as you're in an area where rove of the cholim in the hospital are non-Jews, so maybe there's room to be mekil that the meisei akum are not going to create a sof tumalotzes situation. Obviously, if you hear that someone has passed away, and you don't know that their door is going to be kept closed, so that's omel mamish. That's not sof tumalotzes. So then maybe the kohen should be machmir. But if he doesn't know, so maybe we can say that meisei akum anat metame the sof tumalotzes, and it could be meikra then meisei akum anat metame ba'ol bechlal, like the Rama. So putting a couple of things together, and the person doesn't even know that there's a mace there, so perhaps there's room to be makel to assume that the coin can be there. The coin can be there. Obviously, if he finds out, he's still going to have the problem, but there would still be a heder for him to go to the hospital to visit, because he doesn't have to be choshish that maybe someone is going to die. He'll probably be an akum anyway, and maybe me'ikar adin. Maybe self-tumulatzes doesn't apply to non-Jews, so perhaps there's room to be mekel. But others have pointed out that aside from people passing away in the hospital, there's another issue. That is the skeletons. Skeletons in the different medical departments. They often keep a skeleton to train residents, to train the medical students. Sometimes they'll have a full skeleton there. So that's not self-tumulatzes. I don't think the skeleton is going to be leaving so soon. It's not a sof tumalotzes problem. Yeah, but the issue is it might be ohel mamish that if the door to the ward, if the door to the particular department is left open. There are some hospitals that have a big atrium at the entrance. Columbia, I think, in the Milstein Pavilion, there's a big atrium at the entrance to the hospital. And each one of the floors is open to that atrium. So if the doors are left open to the wards, and if the wards themselves have the skeletons, that are open. So then the person who walks into the hospital building is in an ohel with a mace. Forget about Softa Malotzeis. It's mamish ohel. Wow. So this sounds like a pretty serious issue. Is there any heter for a kohen to come into a hospital to visit the sick? So I once heard a story. One of my chaverim, I heard a story that there was a kohen who didn't want to come to visit his wife after she gave birth because he was afraid that maybe there'd be a tumas ohel issue. So when his wife was giving birth, so that's pikuach nefesh, so he's allowed to be there with his wife. But to visit in the hospital, she was only there for a couple of days later, so he felt that perhaps he should be machmir. Some people talk about machmir. Most of the posts give a makel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yeredei Achelet Beis Simen Kuf Samach Vav, where he writes that if the person who's visiting the sick is going to be bitzar gadol, because he can't visit, or somehow it's going to affect the shalom ha-mishpocha, he can't visit, so perhaps there's room to be makel. There's what to be mitzaref lakula, that maybe may say, Akam, I'm not really metame, maybe it's only a sof tumalatzeis, you don't really know if the doors are open. I mean, are you mechuyev to really check things out? They don't always leave the doors open. Sometimes the doors are left open, and sometimes they're not left open. So it's like, do you have to send someone into the hospital, check everything out? Perhaps there's room to be mekel, that in an extenuating circumstance, if the person really, really wants to visit the individual, and there's a question of shalom mishpacha, perhaps there's room to be mekel to allow him to visit. But barring such a circumstance, it's probably better for a kohen to avoid visiting the sick in the hospital. If the kohen can avoid it, he probably shouldn't work in the hospital either. For the same reason. He's in the kohen who works in the hospital, who's not a doctor, is in a worse situation because he's coming to the hospital every day. Some of the days, the doors are going to be left open. So unless you're going to be mekel, but may say, akum, not mekame ba'ohel, the kohen who works in the hospital is going to find himself in a difficult predicament at least sometime. So it's probably best to avoid. Certainly something to consider and to ask a posek to find out what the guideline should be. Okay, questions? You say because the mechaber is more machmer, I don't know. I would imagine Sfaradi poskim would be more machmer than the Ashkenazi poskim because they don't have the Ramah to rely on. Yes?
If someone were going to the hospital for, let's just say, a routine checkup, so it's not like a life-saving operation or something like that, is there an issue there?
If that's where he has to go, if the doctor that he has to see is in the hospital, so even if it's not pikuach nefesh, again, it is a tzorech. Should he go out of his way to find an outpatient center where he wouldn't have to go to the hospital? I think if it's something that doesn't require any hospital treatment, most doctors are going to see you outside of the hospital. No, it's much more expensive to see someone inside a hospital. So they'll probably send you to an outpatient clinic. You have to go to the hospital afterwards, so then that's a tzorach. A person has to be treated appropriately, so then the stomach would be mekel for that too. Yes?
So you're not taking the dead people out the front door, taking them to the back.
Right, so some, right, but the yeah, so in terms of elevators, some used to say that if a kohen walks into the hospital, because there's no atrium, if he goes in the same elevator that they're going to take the mason, that also should be a softa malatzeis problem. The mace is on the ninth floor. He's going to the third floor, but he'll have to take the stairwell, let's say. You know, it could be a very complicated situation. So now they point out that they take the mace out to the service elevators. But the service elevator, sometimes it's a long hallway to the back of the hospital, but it's all connected. You got to see whether there are actually doorways between the service elevators and the main entrance. It might take a long time to get to the service elevators, but it could be that it's all one ceiling. There's all one ceiling that could still be an issue. Not so simple. Yes?
Can we talk about the doors closed and open? Is there an airspace at all?
That's what someone else asked. Rabbi Shechter is machmir on this poseach tefach with the airspace. If there is some kind of airspace, I know he has some kind of a chumr about that. I'm not sure that all poskim agree. You know, if the door is closed, I think some poskim might say that there is room for kula, but I'm not sure about that. There's one more hint, yes? I don't know. I think the Rav should speak to a Rav to find out what he should do. It's a serious issue. Not to become a Rav, not to aid a kehila in every other thing that a Rav can do, because you don't want to visit the sick in the hospital. I don't know. I guess it depends how much of his time is going to be taken up with visiting the sick, and you know how long he's going to be in the hospital. I don't know. It's a serious issue. It's not so simple. Not so simple. Different. You gotta balance the costs and the benefits. But it definitely is a serious issue and it should be considered. Okay, another shaila that Kohanim face. It's not the Kohanim that face it, but the question is raised by the poskim: is an Ashes coin allowed to enter into the ohel with a mace? If an Ashes coin is muberes, if she's pregnant, is she allowed to enter into the ohel mace? So the Shachin Yeridei and Simin Shinai Aleph Sukhanala Kotzer Rokeach, who says that it's mutter, Mashti Biyasa, well, she has an Uber inside of her. Emor Lakon Bnei Aaron. Emor the Amarta Lahaza Gedolam Alaktanim. So the Gedolam Mitzuvah to make sure that the Ketanim don't become tummy to the mace either. And the Uber also. If the Uber, it turns out the Uber is a Zohar, so then even the Me'eim on the stomach, he shouldn't become tummy to a mace. The Ashes Kohen is pregnant. The question is, she allowed to go into the oil? So the Rokeah says, yeah, it's mutter. Mutter, why? This is in Source 10. It says, because it's a sex fake. Safek Shema Nefel, who? Maybe the Uber is not going to be a Ben Kayama. He's not a Ben Kayama. He's not Mitzuvah. The Yisr Tumas Kohen. I mean, he's not Mitzuvah anyway, but the din of Lahazi Gedolim Alaktanim won't apply to him. Vim Timtzi Lomer, he'll be a Bar Kayama. Maybe he's in a Keva. Maybe he is going to be a She. Right? If it's not a Zohar, but rather in a Keva, there's no Yisr Tumas Kohen for Benos Kohenim, only for a Kohen. So the Rokeah says, you have a Svek Svek Kohen. This is a very common Shaila. You have an Ashes Kohen, Muberes, she's pregnant, and there's a Levi in the family. One of the relatives passed away. And they don't know that the Ashes Kohen is pregnant yet. So now she has a Shaila, she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't show up to the Levi, and then everyone's going to know. You know, is she allowed to show up? She's not allowed to show up. So, no, it's a Shaila. This comes up left and right. So the Rokeach says that that it's mutter for her to go to the Levi, it's mutter for her to go into the Ohel HaMeis, for her to become Tamei, because there's a Sfek Sfeka regarding the Uber. So comes the Pesach Tshuva in Source 11 and asks, why did the Rokeach need a Sfek Sfeka? There's a Magen Avraham who asks that you don't need a Sfek Sfeka. There's a rule that Tahara Bulua Eina Mitama. That if you have something that's Tahar that's swallowed up inside of a person, and the person goes into the Ohel HaMeis, then the Tahara that's swallowed up inside doesn't become Tamei. It's Bulua. It's swallowed up inside. It's like a Chatzitza. Person is like a chatzitza to the Tara. So, Frank the Magen Avraham, why did the Rokeach need this Svek Svek? Tara Balua, Eina Matama. He should just say that the Ashes Kohen Muberes can go into the Ohel HaMeis because the Uber, even if he's a Zohar, he's Balua inside the mother, so he can't become Tomei. So, what could be the issue? That's the Kasha that the Magen Avraham is. The Chaim Isaac Gazensky and his Chuvas Achiezer suggests that the Rokeach needed his Svek Sveka because the Magen Avraham's Yisod is not going to help over here. Tara Blua Eina Matama doesn't help. Why? Zokter Chaim Oisem. He thinks the Isser of Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav is not dependent on Tumah. It's not an Isser that the Kohen can't become Tumah. The Torah formulates it as an Isser Tumah because that's the normal way that a Kohen comes close to a Mace. But the real Isser is that the Kohen is not allowed to be miskarev el hames. He can't come close to a mace. It's not an Isser of Tumah. It's an Isser of coming close to a mace. So after Chaim Oizer, if the Isser is miskarev el hames, it could be that even if the Uber is not going to become Tamei, maybe if his mother is ba'ol hames, he's too close. He's in the ohel too. He's inside his mother. So if his mother is in the ohel hames, we look at it as though the Uber is in the ohel hames too. So even though he might not become Tomei, because Tara Blua Eina Matama, but the din of Lahaza Gedolim Alaktanim will apply to him as well, because he's Miskare Velameis. Comes with Chaim Oizer and says, that's why the Rokeach needed his Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka tells me that the Isser Miskare Velameis doesn't apply to the Uber, because he might be in a Keva, and even if he's a Zohar, he might be a Nefel, so that's why it's Mutna, but not because Tara Blua Eina Matama. Yes.
According to that, if, let's say there's a wall between Tomei and Mace, but, you know, just leaning on the wall, and the Mace against
That's not called coming close to the mace. But if there is a wall, if there's a ceiling, and this wall doesn't go up to the ceiling, then that would be called coming close to a mace. You think that if there's a wall separating between the mace and the coin, that's called coming close? That's what you think. But the halacha apparently doesn't think so. I don't know either. You know, we have to look at the halachas. We have to look at the Shulchan Aruch to figure out what's called coming close.
I'm just saying that maybe below is the same thing, that it's not considered coming close.
I guess what Chaim Moser is saying that Balua is called coming close because it's in the same environment as the mace. I hear that. There is room for what you're saying. You're right. But apparently your Chaim Moser is not like that. That's why he felt that the Rokeach needed the Svek Sveka because Tara Vuay and Matam is not going to help in this case. Yes?
This is exactly what the Rabbi was saying, because the Rabbi was requiring the Kohen who's Tameh right now, and he's going to touch the dead body again. He's not going to become Tameh again.
Very good. So according to this Achiezer, maybe we can give pshat in the Rambam. Meaning the Rambam, we never discussed what the Rambam held, you know, why the Rambam held what he did. The Rambam says that as long as someone is pirish minat tumah, even if he's not going to be mosif tumah tumaso, he's not allowed to touch the tumah again. Why not? But he's tummy already. So what's he doing by touching the tumah again? According to Reb Chaim Moser's pshat, we can understand, because if the Yisr is not an Yisr Tumah, but rather a Skarvis El Ameis, he's Miskarv El Ameis if he touches it again. If he left the Oel Ameis, now he comes back into the Oel, he's Miskarv El Ameis. Even though he's not most of Tumal Tumasa, but he's Miskarv El Ameis, and that could be the Yisr. Rabbi Schechter, I'm sorry, you had a point?
I can ask at the end of this.
Oh, okay. Rabbi Schechter in the Sefer B'Ikvei Atzon has an article about Yisr Tumas Kohen. And he suggests, based on Reb Chaim Moser's Yisod, maybe you can explain an interesting Rambam. Ramon Yeridei in Simon Shin Samach Tes has 2 days. What's the din? Is a coin muzer in what's called Cherev Harehu Kecholom? We know that a mace is an Aviyah Vosatumah. If someone is mitame to a mace, but Ohel, the Magal, the Mas, etc., he becomes an Avatumah. And that's the violation of the Yisod Tumas Kohen. That's what normally happens, that when a person becomes Tameh, he's lowered by a level. And then there's a halacha called Cherev Harei Gecholom. That means that if the Cherev, if the metal, the question exactly what kinds of items have this halacha of Cherev Harei Gecholom, let's just talk about metal, Mateches. The metal touches the mace. The rule is that the Cherev is like a Cholom. That means that just like the mace is an Avi Avos HaTumah, the Cherev becomes an Avi Avos HaTumah as well. So, if someone touches the cherev, they become an avatumah, just like if they were to touch the mace. So the question is, a kohen who touches a cherev harei gecholom has the same din of avatumah that he have if he touched the mace. So is he muzer not to touch the cherev harei gecholom? That's the shah that Rambam addresses. And he quotes 2 days about this. There are some who say that the kohen is not allowed to touch the cherev harei gecholom, because touching the cherev, that is gecholom, is like touching the cholom. What's the difference? Then Ramah says, V'yesh Mekilim, there are some who are Mekil, and he writes that the minig is to be Mekil, they're not Nizer in this halach of Cher Harei Gecholom. It's a din, he becomes Tami, but they're not the Nizer in that kind of halach. The question is, why? Why not? Why are the Kohanim not Muzer in this? Why are they not careful in this? But Rabbi Schechter wanted to say that based on Reb Chaim Moser's Yisod, we can understand that maybe the din of Cher Harei Gecholom, the coin might become Tomei. He becomes an Avatuma, just like if he touched the mace, but the mace is 1,000 miles away. There happens to be a piece of metal that came into the Ola mace, or touched the mace. Maybe this Cherev was the Cherev that killed the mace, I don't know. But the mace is nowhere near here. So just because Cherev Harei Gecholom, that doesn't mean that if the coin is in the Ola with the Cherev Harei Gecholom, we treat it as though he's miskarev el mace. He's not coming close to the mace, he's just becoming Tomei. So if the Isser is coming close to the mace, perhaps the coin should not be Muzer in Cherev Harei Gecholom. There are some who wanted to suggest, based on this Ramah, that maybe we have a solution for the medical students. Maybe we, Taka, can bring the coin back to medical school. And there won't be a problem. Why? What the coin should do is tell Yisrael, the next time Yisrael goes to a Levaya, he should take the coin's watch. Right? The coin will buy a watch, a metal watch, give it to the Yisrael. Yisrael will wear 2 watches, or he'll just hold the watch, right? So if the metal watch comes into the ohel with the mace, then it becomes tamei, and it's cherev harei gecholom, right? It's the same status as the mace. So now if the kohen, the Yisrael can give the cherev harei gecholom watch back to the kohen, will taka become tamei, will become an avatumah, But it's mutter for him to do that according to the Ramah, because the minhag is that they're not kohen, not muzer in chaver b'chol. And now, even according to the Rambam, the kohen would allow him to go into the anatomy lab, because he's not even mosif tumal. He's not even pirish minatumah. Forget about not being mosif tumal tumasa. He's not even pirish minatumah. He'll wear the watch forever until he finishes medical school. Then he can change the watch. But no, maybe he should continue wearing the watch, because then he'll be able to service all the patients that he had, never had a problem. He'll be able to go to the hospital. We've just solved all the problems of Tumas Kohen right here. That's what some wanted to suggest.
You can intentionally make yourself Tameh? Like,
if the Isser of Tumas Kohen is not to make oneself Tameh, but to come close to the Nais, right? So, okay, what are you asking? Formulate.
I'm having trouble. It just seems so wrong. I just
can't, Rabbi Shaffer wanted to say exactly what you said. Rabbi Shaffer suggests it's a type of disaster. The reason why Kohanim might not be Muslim Chaver Ekecholo is if you say that the issue is not to mas Kohanim, it's to come close to a mace. And in this case, you know, the Kohanim is becoming tummy. It doesn't matter. So you'll tell a Kohanim, wear the watch that's Chaver Ekecholo, and now you can come close to the mace. It's a type of disaster, right? It doesn't make sense. If the whole kula of Chayav HaRek HaChalo is based on the fact that you're not coming close to the maze just because you're wearing the Chayav HaRek HaChalo or you're touching the Chayav HaRek HaChalo, so how can you be matir for the Kohen to come close to a maze? Because you say, oh, he's not most of Tumas to Muslim. He's not Pirish Menach Tumah. It's not a Tumah issue. So it's not a Tumah issue. You can't have both. Yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know, if you're going to be Mekel on Chayav HaRek HaChalo, so then even when he's wearing the Chayav HaRek HaChalo, he's not going to be able to come into the Ohel HaMeis, because that would be called the Skarvus El HaMeis, and the coin is the Mitzvah, not to be Miskarvus El HaMeis. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so according to the Sfeik of the Rokea, it's nowadays when people sometimes know the gender before...
Oh, excellent point. So that's the problem. The Kula for the Aishas Kohen Muberes is only because of Sfeik. So there are two issues. First of all, if the woman is overdue, meaning she's kolula chadashav, she's already carried to term, so then the Sfek Sfeka falls off. There's no Sfek Nefil, Sfek Ben Kayav. That's one issue to consider. It's not the worst issue, because she's pregnant for 9 months, so she'll still have a long time that the Sfek Sfeka will still apply. But nowadays, we can determine the gender of the child based on the ultrasound, so maybe the whole Sfek of the Rokeah falls away. She should take an ultrasound, determine whether it's a zachar or a keva. I know women don't want to know. Right? Some people don't want to know. But here maybe she's mechuyev to know. She should find out. Because if she found out, she realized whether it's a zachar or it's in a keva. If she finds out that it's a zachar, so then the suffix of the rakah falls away, and then there's no room for kula. Not so simple. Yes? I hear what you're saying. Some also mention that Uber Bemezara Kizardami, there's a Gemara like that, but I'm just going with what the Rokeach says. The Shach quotes the Rokeach. So I don't know what his Shita is, but obviously he's passing that way. The Shach quotes him a halacha. So, you know, we can talk about what the Svara is, but we're still going to have to go with the Psak halacha of the Shach. Imagine. Yeah.
Is there still a significant suffix
of
Nathal when somebody
When so many women carry the term, you mean? Or if the woman carries the term? I'm saying if the woman carried the term, there really is no suffix nephil anymore. That's what Chazal say. There's only a suffix nephil before carrying the term. So you're asking if she's in the ninth month, is there a suffix nephil even then? Is mana zeh, not so...
Fourth month, fifth month,
any number of... No, before a certain number of weeks, there's less of a likelihood that the child is going to survive. But nowadays... Most women who carry to the ninth month, even to the eighth month, certainly to the seventh month, you know, according to Chazal, the seventh month is better than the eighth month. But we have ways of ensuring that even premature babies are going to survive. So, you know, you could ask that maybe the whole Sufik Nefil, Sufik Ben Kayama nowadays doesn't apply Bechlal, because it's not a bona fide Sufik. That's a good question as well. Not so simple. It's really not so simple to be making. Because it could be that the whole Sfek Sfeka doesn't really apply to Zman HaSeh. Another shaila that the Kohanim have to deal with is driving on a road next to a cemetery. We're driving in a road that's paved over an old cemetery. Driving in a car or a bus, what's the din? Is a Kohen allowed to do that? So at first glance, you'd say, what could be the issue? The car is Chotzis B'fnei HaTumah. can separate between the kohen and the tumah. It's not so simple that that's the case, because the Gemara in Erevin and other places has a machlokas tanaim whether ohel zorek shmei ohel or not. If an ohel that's moving, if a moving ohel is called an ohel, can it be chotzes b'fnei tumah? And we pass in that ohel zorek lav shmei ohel. So it's not an ohel, then the car shouldn't be chotzes b'fnei tumah. So some count it, but that's not true. The din of ohel zorek lav shmei ohel only applies if the ohel zorek is suspended in the air. Doesn't mean a moving ohel. It means an ohel that's suspended. That's not an ohel. That's a kli. It's not called an ohel. The case of the Gemara is shita teva umigdal, right? Cases where the tumah is in the box or the coin's in the box. A box that's being suspended. Not that it's touching the floor. So some suggest, well, the car is rolling on the floor. Maybe that's not called zarug for the din of ohel zarug lav shmei ohel. The emphasis is it doesn't really matter. Even if we wouldn't say that this is an ohel zarug, it still won't be chotis b'fnei ha'tumah, because the car is made out of a davar mekabel tumah. Most of the cars have some kind of a metal chassis. Even if the outer part of the car is not metal, it's made out of other substances that can collapse, that can get crushed, and not that the chassis is made, the actual car, you know, is made out of metal. I'm not sure which metal, but I think it could be made out of steel even, just to give a sense of strength to protect the passengers. So, if it has iron in it, has barzel, it has some kind of metal in it, so the Dara Makabal Tumah is not Chotis B'fnei HaTumah. So even if we'll say that a car is not an Ohel Zarek, so it is Shmei Ohel, but it can't be an Ohel anyway, because Dara Makabal Tumah is not Chotis B'fnei HaTumah. So because of that, many poskim hold that if a Beis HaKfaros was used for they paved over a road on top of a former Beis HaKfaros, it certainly, if it's Meisei Yisrael, it was a Jewish cemetery, and then the government took over the area, and yeah, they claimed that they took out some of the mason, right? Some of the burial plots, but we know there are questions. They found bones, they found other things. It's not so clear that they really took the mason out. So it's a big question whether you're allowed to drive on such a road. The road was plowed over kvarim, plowed over a Beis HaKfaros. There'll be mile on top of the mason, on top of the bones. The car is not going to be chotis b'fnei ha'tumah. So it's really a big shaila whether you're allowed to take that road. It's probably best to avoid it than to take a different road.
This would be true even if it was a non-Jewish cemetery?
So if you mile ala meis, what, if tumas akum, if meis akum are not metayim ba'ol me'ikra din ramah, right? So could you be mekum? Sorry? Ram would stud l'hakim. Yeah, no. I'm sorry? Right, we knocked off the stud. The problem is, if you mile directly on top of the mace, there are less studim to be met. You'll see, we're going to quote other studim if you're driving along the side of the cemetery. But if you're being mile on the mace itself, so the only suffix you have is whether mace yakam atakam atamim or not. So if there are masses nachem lahachmim, it's hard to believe that you're going to be able to be mekam. Again, if a person has to get from place A to place B, it's an absolute necessity. It's only a suffix whether the mason are still here. Maybe you can thumb up a kula. But certainly, if you can avoid it, it's probably better to do so. What's the din if you're driving alongside the cemetery? Is there any difference? The answer is yeah, there's a big difference. Because if you're driving alongside the cemetery, then the ohel that we're talking about is not you. It's not that you're being mile ala mace, but rather you have an ohel hamshacha through the branches of the tree that's on the side of the road. That's how we're connecting to the mace. The cemetery is beyond the fence, let's say, but there are branches that are going over from the cemetery to the road. So the question is, do those form an ohel, and now one is not allowed to be in the ohel ha-meis, even through the ohel ha-mshach of the branches, or not? So that's a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, here a day in Simen Shin Samach Tes Sif Aleph, in Source 12, he says that a kohen is muzer on this as well. Kohen muzer shalol itam yad b'meis, v'lo l'chol tumus ha-parshus mimenu, ולא לאילה המסך על האורץ והנופות מובדולן זה מזה ותומה תחס אחד מהם ואין ידוע תחס איזה. If there's an elon that's spreading out over the tree, over the ground, and the branches are spread out zem izem, if you don't know which branch has the mace underneath it, so then the kohen is not allowed to go in that area. He can't go under the tree because he might be going in the ola mace. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, even if there are stones that are coming out of a geder, Tzchachos Supros, as they call them, stones that are jutting out, there's a stone that's coming over, and there could be mason there, so one is not allowed to go there because it's not known where the mace actually is. So comes the Shach in Sukkot in Source 13, in Sukkot in Aleph, and he quotes the Prisha. Shach says, why is this asa? He says it's only a Safek Tuma. Safek Tuma Bishus Arabim Sveko Tahar. Ava Mishen Kano Safek Tuma Hakoin Muzer Olaf. The coin is Muzer. Apparently, even though Safek Tuma Bishus Arabim Sveko Tahar, but the Isser Tumas Kohen is not governed by that rule, apparently. Says the Shach from the Prisha, it's Muchach Mikan, the Ilan HaMesach Al HaMes. If the Ilan is spreading out on top of the mace, if you know for sure that there are branches that are not on top of the mace, then you're allowed to be under those branches. Because the whole Isser in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it's an Isser based on Safek, that you don't know which underneath which branch you have the mace. But if you know for sure that the mace is under one of the branches, then you're allowed to go under the other branch, because it's not like the tree is forming one unit. You know, sometimes you have a tree with branches, with the leaves coming out, you know, strong leaves coming out. It's almost like one unit. But here we're not talking about one unit. It's that there are multiple branches. So just because there's a mace underneath one branch doesn't mean that you can't go underneath a different branch. That's how the Shach quotes the Prisha, who understands this way. So what would emerge from the Prisha, perhaps, is that if you're driving alongside a cemetery, and you see that the trunk of the tree that has some branches hanging over the cemetery and some branches that are hanging over the road, so if the Kohen is in the road, right, he's driving on the road, he knows for sure that the branches that are over him on the road are not over the mason in the cemetery, then Lacharit should be much of him to drive on the road. Because that's like the case of the Shach. It's not a Suffolk then. The case of the Shach is you don't know where someone is buried, but if the cemetery is clearly marked and you see that all the Kvarim are inside the cemetery, the road is outside the cemetery, the tree is located in such a way that it has some branches inside, some branches outside, and you see that your branch is only outside the cemetery, so then the Lacharit should be mutter. That shouldn't be a problem. It's only if the tree is inside the fence, right? It's near the cemetery, and you have some kvarim that are between the trunk and the road. So then you have a problem. Then taka would be a problem. So Dain Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalet Simin Lamed Aleph, he was asked a shaila about this too, and it must have been some kind of extenuating circumstance, and he tries to put together different kulas. He says, maybe by Meisei Akam, even if the Matzevos are on the same side as the trunk, as the Kohen, same side of the trunk as the Kohen, by Meisei Akam, maybe there's more room to be Mekel. If the Kohen is traveling by a part of the branch that's not so thick, if the branch is hanging over and only a little, and only a small, a thin part of the branch remains over the roadway, so that might not be maybe a satuma, maybe only a thick part of the branch that still is a tefach might be maybe a satuma. He tries to put together a lot of different kulas, perhaps to be megal in such a case. But again, if you can avoid it, it's certainly best to try to avoid it. The place where this shaila comes up is, let's say a bus has a certain route. If a person is driving, so they can avoid the road, they can go on a different road. But if a bus takes a certain route, so then the Kohen is not going to be able to take that bus. So let's say that's the only bus that can get him to where he has to get to. That's where the Shaila comes up. Right? Does he have to take a taxi and spend more money and try to avoid the road? Sometimes he can't do that. So that's where the Shaila is very relevant, to try to put together different svaras. Maybe there's room to be making in certain circumstances. I mean, you know, if you can't put together all of these kulas, if the Kohen really is under a thick part of the branch, the road is under a thick part of the branch, and the kvarim are on the same side of the trunk as the road, it's Mesi Yisrael, it's going to be very hard to be makel in such a case. There are some cemeteries, Taka, even in Chutz Laaretz, there are some cemeteries that have a lot of Mesi Yisrael. So you should have to know, if there are a lot of Mesi Yisrael there, it might be much more of an issue, and you might not be able to put together the kula of the Ramah as a Snif L'Hakam. One of the other issues that a Kohen has to face is flying in an airplane over a cemetery. What's it in there? So Some of the poskim wanted to suggest that an airplane is not the same as a car, because an airplane is made with lighter materials. In the modern time, to be more fuel efficient, many of the airlines, all of the airlines make planes with lighter materials. They don't want to make it with steel. It's just too heavy. And it's not as necessary as a car. You want to protect the passengers, but the plane, you know, you're not protecting the passengers from a crash, Khalila, but from some other, right? You hope there won't be a crash with another plane, right? There could be other situations that you want to avoid. But many airplanes are made with lighter materials. So, if they're not made out of metal, then maybe they're chotis b'tnei atuma. Some of the posts can quote the Gra. The Vilna Gaon holds that the only metals that are makabel tuma are the six metals that are mentioned in Parshas Matos that the Torah calls metal. And what are those? Those are gold, silver, copper, tin, lead, and iron. Right, barzel. Right. Zav, kesem, nechoshes, bedil, ofaris, and Zav, kesef, nechoshes, bedil, ofaris, and barzel. Right. Those are the six metals that the Torah mentions. So anything beyond that, some want to say, the Gra suggests that maybe that doesn't have a din of metal. Maybe it doesn't have a din of metal for Tvilas Kalin, or one of a din of metal for Kabbalas Tumah. So others point out that the Tferes Yisrael, in his Akdamah to say the Torah, disagrees with the Gra. And he says that those six metals that the Torah mentions are only examples. Anything that shares the property of metals, if you can form the substance into something just like metal, right? If you can heat it up and form it into a substance just like metal, you'd have a din of metal, even though it's not mentioned in the Torah, as one of the six matches. So according to the Tveres Yisrael, there's no pula. Even if the plane is made out of lighter materials, it wouldn't be chosus v'atum. Others point that it doesn't really matter. Even if you go with the Gra, the plane still won't be chosus v'atum, because the plane is made with metal screws. They don't make the screws out of other substances. They still make that out of metal. So the problem is, if the plane is made out of metal screws, even if the bulk of the plane is a davar she'ein makabel tumah, but if the nails and the screws are made out of metal, since they're mamid the davar hamakabel tumah, since you're mamid the davar hamakabel tumah, even if the ikur is ein makabel tumah, but mamid the davar hamakabel tumah is not chozes v'fei tumah either. That's a taz in Yeridayim, simin shinai and aleph of cotton gimel, in source 15. Taz says that if you have metal supporting something else, even if the other item is not makabel tumah, then that item is not going to be chotzes b'fnei tumah either, because it takes on the quality of the mamid. The mamid governs. The mamid controls the status of the item that is being chotzes. So even if the item itself is not makabel tumah, that doesn't matter. As long as the metal is makabel tumah, then the item won't be chotzes b'fnei tumah either. It's very hard to believe that the airplane should actually be chotzes b'fnei tumah. And then there's a third issue to consider, and that is that the plane is moving. Right? Hopefully. Right? If the plane is an Ol Zarek, if we pass on that Ol Zarek Lashmei Ohel, the plane is suspended in the air. It's not rolling on the ground like the car. In the beginning of the process, it's rolling on the ground, but then it takes off. So once it takes off, then it's an Ol Zarek L'chol Adeis. And if Ol Zarek Lashmei Ohel, so then even if the plane would be made with something that's chotzes b'fnei tumah, but it's not an oil, it's not going to be chotzes b'fnei tumah anyway. So it's a big problem. How can a kohen travel in an airplane that's flying over cemeteries? Rabbi Schechter wanted to be makel based on his yesod. He said that if you hold that the yisur of tumas kohenim is not to come close to a mace, it's not an yisur of tumah, so then it could be that if the plane is very high in the air when it actually goes over the cemetery, even if Tumah Bokas Ve'ola, even if the Tumah goes up, but you're so far away from the mace, that's not cool, coming close to a mace. Now clearly, Rabbi Schechter's Svar will only apply if the plane goes over the cemetery when it's high up. If it's very close to the runway, so maybe that Svar wouldn't apply, but that's what Rabbi Schechter suggested, that maybe if the plane is already several thousand feet in the air, maybe that's not called coming close to the mace. And if it's not called coming close to the mace, so then the coin is not muzer in that kind of situation. Rabbi Schechter actually gave a shiur on this topic, the shiur that's published in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon in Siman Lamed Hei. He gave the shiur the dedication of the Katz Kollel. Mr. Marcus Katz is a coin. He lived in Mexico. he was living then in Mexico, and he came for the dedication of the kollel. So Rebbe Shaffer decided to give a shiur to discuss whether Mr. Katz was allowed to come for the dedication of the kollel. Baruch Hashem, he came out l'kula. He didn't come out l'kula to make Mr. Katz feel better, but he felt that this was the correct halacha. Some have pointed out that flights leaving Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv fly over the Cholon Cemetery. This was brought to the attention of some poskim in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago, and there was a whole give and take, articles and kuntresim written back and forth about this issue, whether Cholon are allowed to fly in airplanes, but on over cemeteries. Very, very complicated. So one of the Dayanim from London had the idea that maybe when he flies, he will ask them to put him in a body bag. He'll put in a body bag, and he'll seal up the body bag during takeoff, and then, you know, a couple of minutes into the flight, he'll be able to come out of the body bag, because there's a concept called somit posil, right? That if someone is in a container that's enclosed completely, so that might be chotitz b'fnei atum. And I guess he felt that all Zarek wouldn't apply. And I guess it wouldn't apply to that din of Tzamit Posel. I'm not sure. The airline refused to agree to let him do this. You know, they didn't want someone else to be carried off in a body bag. So they felt it wasn't safe. It wasn't the kind of thing that they wanted to do. But this was part of the discussion, whether maybe people should put themselves in a body bag, try to avoid this issue in some other way. I think the best solution is what some point out, that late-night flights out of Ben-Gurion Airport actually take a different route, not for Tumas Kohanim, but for security reasons. Somehow flying over Cologne is more dangerous, I don't know, for some reason. So that's the best thing for a Kohen to do. If you can take a late-night flight, then you'll avoid the whole problem. They won't be going over the cemetery, and then you won't have the issue. But if the airplane does go over the cemetery, if it's not that far up, Even Rabbi Shachter would say that it might be a problem. So it's something that a Kohen should certainly consider. Yes?
What about all of Europe?
All of Europe. It's one big Beis HaKfaras, yeah. And there are a lot of Maaseh Yisrael. Yeah, it's a problem. But, you know, again, it's not Rov of the territory. Rabbi Shachter would certainly say it's fine, because you're traveling over Europe. You're saying to go in and out of airports in Europe. To travel from...
anywhere in Poland.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, are the cemeteries next to the airports? You're saying because there are so many
anywhere
in Europe. I don't know. I'm not sure that the poskim are so machmir. You know, if there's no reason to believe that there was a cemetery there, I'm not sure that the poskim would be so machmir. But if there's a question, so then obviously you have to look into it further and see where that takes you. What's the difference flying in an airplane which is carrying a dead body in the cargo? That's another important issue. There, we're not talking about a mace akum, right? There's no kula. You can't put the ramah in for a kula here. It's mace Yisrael. That's most of the mace buried in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about mace Yisrael. So is there any kula there? It's also an issue. It's a very serious issue. Some wanted to suggest that maybe they should put the mace in a special box. A box that's not mekabel tuma. Made out of plastic or something that's not going to be mekabel tuma. So it'll be totally separate from the rest of the cargo, and maybe that box will be chotzitz b'fnei atumah because it's made out of a davar she'eino mekabel tumah. So others countered, but the plane is an ol zarek. The plane is an ol zarek. The box is an ol zarek too. It's also moving. So if it's not an ol, if it's viewed as a kli, once it's suspended, once it's moving, so then it's not going to be chotzitz b'fnei atumah. Even if it's made out of a davar she'eino mekabel tumah, it still is not going to be chotzitz b'fnei atumah. So. Others counted. This is in the Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breisch from Switzerland. The Chelkas Yaakov wanted to suggest that maybe the box is not an ol zarek. Aye, but the plane is moving. Yeah, but relatively speaking, the box is not an ol zarek vis-a-vis the passengers. And it's not moving relative to the passengers. So maybe we should say, relative to the passengers, it's not an ol zarek, and it could be chotzes b'fnei atum. That's the back and forth. The back and forth in the poskim, what the din should be. The best thing is for a Kohen to try to avoid the issue. You should take an airline. The Kohen should take an airline that doesn't carry mason. Or he should, even some airlines that do carry mason, it depends on the place where they're, depends on the airport. There are some airports where they don't take mason from. So I think from Newark, they don't take mason.
I think from JFK it's more of an issue. So the Kohen should either leave from an airport where they don't take Mason, or take an airline that doesn't take Mason, then he can just avoid the problem. Why get involved in the Machlokas HaPoskim if the Kohen can just avoid the issue? So the best thing is for the Kohen to tackle, avoid the issue. If they try to take a flight, that's not going to have a Mason in the car. Yes?
To clarify, the difference between the two floors of the hospital versus being in the cargo, since they've been decked the planes, because here it's in a castle.
Tamachubal Akarka.
Oh, that's what it's
in. Not the airplane,
Tamachubal
Akarka. So
then
it could be.
Then
it's separate. Then you have to figure out, is it Davar Makabal Toma? Will it be Choses Mea Toma? Will it not be Choses Mea Toma? But it's a different. It's different than the hospital because it's not Mechubal
HaKarka. And it is in a casket, which is less than a tefach to the body, and that's why it's transport has.
Right, so you're saying if it's poseach tefach in the box between the mace and...
It's in a big casket, right?
You have a big casket, right. So I'm not sure that in the casket... Is it poseach tefach in the casket? I have no idea also. And I'm not sure what they're carrying them in the plane itself. But it could be that the poseach tefach is not going to help for the airplane because there's a concept called kever sosim. But if the kever is closed, if it's entirely closed, then it's not chotzes with me'atumah, even with the poseach tefach. Someone has suggested that for the time that the airplane is flying, it has a din of a kever sosim. It can't be accessed. So if it can't be accessed, that might have a din of a kever sosim. Not everyone agrees, so that's part of the kula. Part of the svara of those who want to say that if you have the box, that might be a room for kula, is that they say that if it's poseach tefach, so then it shouldn't be a problem anyway. Right? If it's poseach tefach, so that perhaps should be chotzes b'fnei atuma and prevent the tuma from coming up to the passenger area. But others counter, and they say maybe it has a din of a kever sosim. If it can't be accessed, then it's completely closed, and the fact that it's poseach tefach is not going to help. Okay, if it's kever sosim and it is poseach tefach, it might be worse. It's not going to help. So once it's not going to help, then it won't be chotzes b'fnei atuma, and then even the kohanim in the passenger area, they can become tummy. Again, we don't know. It's not like the cargo area is full of mason. It's only one area where the mace are being stored, but you don't know where the mace is, and you're going to be walking throughout the plane. Right? You'll be walking back and forth to the bathroom, to whatever you're doing, so it's probably best to avoid to take an airline that doesn't carry mace. Okay, we'll stop here.